Uh-oh.
This just in.
Okay.
Just finished Grimm. Maybe Extraction is too new. That's what Clarissa, she just handed me a note. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I hope Grimm ended well for her, because
after all these years
of watching it every Friday.
Right. Well, and not only every Friday, but also on the indoor trainer when she'd be riding and stuff. That's why she
got it done ahead of schedule.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Ted. It's episode 116 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. How are you this fine Sunday evening?
I know. We had to push it a little bit this week. Thank you. It was quite an eventful week for Anne gets mad at me when I say coronacation, because it's not a vacation. It's not, but that's why it's a coronacation. But yeah.
That's the COVIDcation.
COVIDcation, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's neither of those things. It's not a vacation, but yes, we did do a lot of stuff this week. So yeah, so it's an active week.
Before we get into any of that stuff, I'm going to need some time with this beer tonight.
All right.
Let me get into it. It is a Dark Star November.
Oh, nice.
Barrel-aged Imperial Rye Stout, 14.09%. It's one of those bottle logic ones that we've had.
Oh, yeah,
similar,
so good.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, this was a little expensive. It's been in the fridge now, I don't know, like 4 or 5 months. It's been calling me. And the reason I waited, though, is because I wanted my homebrew Imperial barrel-aged stout, although it's not a rye stout. Mine's more of just an Imperial, just Russian stout, I guess. Russian Imperial stout.
Mm-hmm.
And mine is about 9.5%, so it's not quite as robust as this. But I did want to kind of compare and see. So earlier tonight, me and Clarissa, we're not doing a side-by-side, but me and Clarissa had my homebrewed Russian Imperial Stout. Like I said, that one's about 9.5% and very good.
How do you get the percentage on homebrews?
You take a gravity reading with a hydrometer.
Ah, okay.
Before it ferments, when the wort is just more or less sugar water.
Okay.
And then it floats, let's say it floats at 1.085, right? And then after it ferments, you take another gravity reading, and then it might be like 1.015.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a calculation that gives you the ABV.
Cool.
So that's pretty much, it's pretty simple, actually. So here we go. I'm looking forward to seeing how this looks and everything. And
ooh,
yeah, it looks like mud.
That is some thickness.
Yeah, I'm digging it. And so
get a vigorous pour. Get a vigorous pour there, huh?
No, not too vigorous, because it's not.
Oh, it's
on,
yeah, right.
It's not done on nitro.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is also bottle conditioned and all the good stuff.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
That we like. And so what do you have? What do you have?
So this week I have a friend did a contactless drop off of a few beers that she had in her fridge. Katie Cooper, thank you. She had this Maui Brewing Company Coconut Hiwa. Hiwa? Hiwa? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Hiwa? I don't know.
H-I-W-A. So it's a robust dark ale with hand-toasted coconuts, hints of mocha, and it's at 6%, so.
6%. Man, I wasted a high ABV. It's kind of like when you would play Stratego, and there would be like the scout or something that was like easy to kill, but then like you killed him with like your major general or something, and yeah. And you got that, a friend dropped it off?
Yeah, she dropped it off. She was, we picked it up. I don't know. I think Anne and the kids were doing a drive-by birthday party early this week. Then there was another, she had a birthday present for Audrey from, at the beginning of the COVID-19. So we kind of had to postpone that. So she went to go get that. And during the contest, contactless pickup, I texted her. I said, well, if they're coming by to get that, why don't I get that beer you were going to drop off, So.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So here, cheers to good beers.
Hey, salute. some tasting notes. One thing I wanted to say, if I'm going to compare it to my own as well, which is what I want to do, is earlier I had some...
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say complaints, but it was a way of, like, when you go to drink and you have a very open glass, like a tulip-type glass,
yeah,
the aromas and everything kind of fill your sinuses and your nose, and you take in a lot of aroma, both through your nose and even through, like, the back of your throat, and it kind of, like, fills your sinus cavities before it winds up hitting your palate. And in doing so, drinking the one that I had, because it's a bourbon barrel-aged stout, I took in a lot of, like, the bourbon vapors, let's say.
Ah.
And I'm thinking, like, wow, this is really, like, vapor.
Heavy.
Almost, like, almost like a Vicks VapoRub, right? Like,
oh, wow, yeah.
I'm drinking this one, this Bottle Logic. I get the exact same sensation. So I guess I must have done something right. So I'm actually very pleased that this one's doing the exact same thing, because I thought that was a flaw in my beer, but it's very much the same. Like, you take on a lot of that bourbon aroma, the alcohol, like, I don't know. I guess, yeah, the bourbon.
The vapors, yeah. Yeah.
Vapors, in a sense. And then when it hits, it's very, like, dark, creamy, malty.
Right.
I mean, it's awesome.
So in tech world, we call that it's a feature, not a bug.
Exactly, yeah. And no, this is, I mean, like I said, it's going to give me, I'm going to have to nurse this one a little bit. It's very robust. It's like when you brew, like, an extra rich, deep, dark coffee, almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're just drinking swill from a diner, you're just chugging them back, right? Because it's just like...
Yes, of course, yeah.
It's like colored water.
I usually have like 6 or 7 glasses when we do like the cafe brunch or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. But when you do like some really heavy, thick, it's almost like you didn't foam it, but because your coffee is so robust, it almost foamed itself.
Ah, yeah.
That's kind of like the mouthfeel and how this is. So it's going to take, it's, you know, it's almost like Turkish coffee or something. I mean, it's really good. So how about you? What are your tasting notes?
My tasting notes are the coconut is overpowered by the chocolate, which isn't bad at all. It's a good solid porter. It is a nice balanced beer. No, none of the flavors are overbearing. And sometimes the coconut can kind of be overbearing, but I think this one has a nice level set. And of course, yeah, it's just a great microbrew from Hawaii.
Very nice. Okay, so you were talking about, busy week.
And yes. Just
the COVIDcation, coronacation, man gets upset, and you know. So tell me about your coronacation.
All right. So the kids and Anne went to this birthday party, birthday drive-by. I think it was either Monday or Tuesday.
Oh man, Clarissa and our kids did the same.
Yeah.
And for the drive-by, they didn't drive. They rode the cargo bike by.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
So, but anyway, didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, you just reminded me of that.
No, it's cool. We made a sign, and then we're getting ready to go out. And then we're looking for our keys because we haven't left the house in like a week.
Funny.
We're like, I don't know where the keys are. And I finally found a set of keys, but we couldn't find Anne's keys. And we're like, well, we don't know. We've been spent so much time in the yard. They could be out in the yard. We could, you know, like...
Oh, like you dropped them in the grass or something.
Compromise the house, yeah. So I stayed home to make sure to look for the keys and to make sure that we were fine. So we were fine. I finally found the keys in our picnic basket. So that was tragedy averted there. And then later in the week, we went to Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's one of our first meals out. I guess our first meal out. And they had a car hop, and a couple of Bryce's friends and coordinated with their parents, and they sat in their cars and we sat in our car, and we popped all the tailgates for all the three cars, and the kids just talked to each other from the back of the tailgates, you know, and we talked to the parents in the, you know, in the driver's seat and in the front. So it was neat. It was a neat experience. It was different, you know, and then to have like the servers come up, walk up and
with a mask on,
put a tray with a mask on and put a tray on. Do they have a mask? They must have had a mask on. Yeah, they totally did.
So have you done any takeout or like delivery or anything though from restaurants, or was that your first time doing a restaurant meal?
It was our first time doing a restaurant meal. We all wore masks. Okay. And Anne wants to make sure that we say that.
You guys are way better than us.
We did, and
how'd you get the food through? You know, through the mask, that is.
So yeah, through the masks, you know, we just, we drank everything with a straw. So it's just slipped
That's
under
so
the mask.
Funny.
No, we didn't. we rolled up the windows and then we ate, and then we rolled up the windows to with a mask to talk. And it's so funny because Bryce even had a tape measure. And he was extending the tape measure to his friends to make sure that they were staying 6 feet.
You know what he
needs? What's that?
He just needs to carry a pool noodle with him.
A pool noodle? I saw that. I saw that on Instagram. I saw the guy with the hat, pool noodle hat thing. It's going in four different.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, you didn't see that? There's a guy that has like four pool noodles on like a ring on his head.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's like it's how he's keeping everybody 6 feet away from him.
That's
so,
a good one.
So that was our Thursday. Audrey's feeling a little under the weather on Friday, so that's part of the reason we had to postpone. And then today, just spent the day. I woke up at like yesterday. I started cleaning the garage, you know, the back garage, not the side garage. And as we didn't get to talk about this,
Ted has multiple garages.
We didn't get to talk about this last week, but a few months ago, or maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I had planned on May being the time when I was going to have a garage sale. And of course, with this, I can't have a garage sale.
Right.
But what I did find was, and Anne found it, so I have to give her credit as well. I'm not a big Facebook fan. You know, I don't like Facebook. But Anne's like, I said, we'll try one of these OfferUps, or it's like you can sell stuff online, but locally.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I haven't done it on Facebook, but I have purchased things through that.
Yeah.
And no, actually, I think I may have sold a couple of things that way through, because I don't have Facebook, but through Clarissa's Facebook. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So we hook some stuff up. We set up a couple of our tables last weekend. And of course it wasn't before we did our podcast, so I didn't have the experience, but between last weekend and this weekend, we have a ton of stuff up there, and I'm just like, we'll just, you know, every week, and we'll just drop the price. But it was kind of getting hard because when you pull something out and take a picture of it, you kind of have to still put it away. And then you also, like when people call you during the week or they're texting you and they're like, is this available? And then you're like pulling it out and it's like, okay, so there needs to be a better system. You know what I mean? Like I can't just take a picture of something, throw it back into the abyss that was this garage.
You need like inventory and stuff.
I need an inventory. I need a system. I need a way of processing.
Like a spreadsheet.
Well, we have the spreadsheet. I have a physical way of processing it. A little more like Indiana Jones than and what is it? Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark at the end where it's archive, you know, they put the Ark
in the big warehouse.
So I was like, I need a system, an inventory system.
And just so everybody knows, that is kind of what Ted's garage looks like.
It is. It looked like that before, and now we have a little more space.
Just this enormous warehouse that you have.
We had a sofa in there that was kind of packed away, and I said, and Anne doesn't want it to be, you know, dirtied up. So I put a couple moving blankets over it so we could use it out there. And Bryce is like, cool, we can hang out here. And I'm like, there's no electricity. So Frank came over, and once again, we were all wearing masks because we're all very conscientious of everyone and ourselves and everyone else. And I said, Frank, there's some electrical, roughed in electrical pipes in here. So he and I were looking at it. We're like, oh, we could try to do this. We could run some wires. So we're probably going to run some electricity over there. And then we got the elliptical out of storage and into that space. So we have a bit of a place, and I might get your spinner. He said he doesn't have room to set up that trainer.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, he wanted to figure out where to set it up. And
oh, I got you.
We could set it up over there if he wants to train over there. Anne was thinking she could throw her bike on it too, you know, between the biking and the elliptical. So
you're gonna put it where, like the breezeway or something?
No, in the back garage. We have tons of space in there now.
Oh my God, talk about hot. lot. You better have a lot of fans, man.
The door opens, you know, the door opens. We get some cross ventilation in there. We're fine.
No, you got to have, like, I open up the door about halfway.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not halfway, about a quarter way. Because if it's open all the way, I don't get as good of a breeze, right? So you want to make kind of a Venturi effect.
Oh, okay.
And then I open the back of the garage, and then it kind of like whips through.
Oh, okay.
And I have the windows open, and I have two fans going, and I'm still sweating, like, profusely all over the place. And I wear a head bandana, and I'm always white. Brutal.
Once again, it's a feature, not a bug.
That's when it's 58 degrees in the in the garage, too, by the way. Not when it's like 85, 90, or 100.
Yeah, I forget. I forget about that. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what it. We'll see what. No,
for winter, it would be good. I don't know about summer back there. I mean, it would be awfully brutally hot. Cool.
How was your week?
Yeah, week's been okay. A little quiet. I mean, you know, still cooking a lot, doing a lot of home cooked. I made like stuffed cabbage and just some other things.
Oh, nice.
So I've been compiling a list of to do's. So nothing big, nothing major, just a bunch of little things, you know, little ticky-tack stuff.
Right.
But I need to go to Home Depot for some of the things, right? Like I need a new outlet, you know, and I need like some, like these little like...
A GFI?
It's just for the garage. So yeah, maybe a GFI. I don't know. Or it just needs to be an outlet. But yeah, they're not GFI in there now. Whatever. But the details don't matter. So I'm putting together, I'm compiling this little list of things.
Right.
And I have about 10 items, if I had to guess, all totaling about $30 worth of stuff. I mean, like really inexpensive ticky-tack to-dos that are probably like 5 minutes to 30-minute little projects.
Right.
So I hop on the bike, I ride on down to Home Depot, 11 o'clock in the morning. This is last week. The line is around the building.
What day of the week?
It was, what, Sunday? Yeah, it was Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like... Okay, and I asked somebody, and they're like, "Oh yeah, line's an hour and a half or so, whatever it is." I'm like,
"Yeah,
these little 30, like I'm gonna spend more time in line than I am gonna be doing my little projects." So I rode home.
Yeah.
And every day, if I go some, like today, I was out on a road ride and I went past the lines around the building. I'm thinking to myself, "What is with like these people standing? They cannot have this much to get at Home Depot that makes it worth an hour and a half." Wait in line where they let people in one at a time or something. So there's that whole thing. We donated a bike, a cargo bike, to Santa Barbara Bike Coalition. So they have this thing called BC Centro. It's like a bike kitchen sort of a thing. So they sell used bikes and parts, and you can go and pay $5 for shop time, and you can use their tools and all that kind of stuff. So very cool. So we donated a cargo bike to them that hopefully somebody can replace their car with, maybe.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, hopefully. And like I said, we also did a birthday drive-by where the boys made a sign and kind of all the same stuff you did, you know. But other than that, though, I mean, it's been a pretty calm week. I mean, just kind of at home doing school with the boys, doing some stuff with work and from home and some meetings and so on and everything. Not really much else. I mean, I'm kind of at a standstill.
Right.
One thing I would say, though, and this is one hell of a way to save money, you know, the coronavirus whole thing. But one thing I got to say is, like, we probably haven't made any, like, when I say major purchases, let's say anything over $100, right?
Right.
We haven't made any major purchases in at least 2 months, let's say.
Right.
It is shocking how my credit card bill is cut in half. I'm thinking, we don't buy anything anymore, you know? And I'm like, man, I got to keep the streak alive. Like, my bank account's fat because, like, coronavirus, you know? For no other reason than we're just not, like, going to the store buying stuff we don't need.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's one hell of a way to save money, but, you know. What I will say, though, is, like, we ordered pizza from a local pizza place, and they now have free delivery. And they're giving good deals and such. We've gone to local Mexican places, you know, for food. We've gone to other Italian restaurant pizza, you know, takeout and such.
Right.
And I mean, we try to do that about once a week, you know, for no other reason. Well, I cook every other night. It gives me a break from cooking. And, you know, the whole Mr. Mom thing.
At least the kids are out of diapers, right?
Oh, yeah. At least that's the good thing, man. But, you know, I feel like... we're not buying anything. We're saving all this money. Like, at least share the wealth, you know, and you know, with some restaurants and stuff. And then Clarissa's like, well, should we tip the driver? I'm like, yeah, of course, man. Yeah. The poor guy's probably hurting for money at this time, you know? So,
and he doesn't have a choice. He doesn't have the choice like the rest of us to work from home. And, you know, it's all so
yeah, I mean, rough. If he's working from home, then all my pizza's at his house. But yeah, so yeah, we gave him a pretty good tip. And, you know, I mean, it's like, why not? You know, I mean, like I said, we're not spending money on anything else.
Right.
And, you know, we're saving a ton. So, like, share it when you can, you know. That's
how many more weeks of school do you guys have?
I don't have a calendar in front of me. I think it was June 5th would be the last day. June 5th was graduation. So, I don't know. What is that, like 5 weeks or something?
Yeah. I think you guys go a little bit longer than us. We I think ours is like the end of, I think it's the 22nd, May 22nd.
Oh, okay. Do you have a February week off?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, see, for some reason, we have this thing they call ski week.
Oh, yeah. You said that. Yeah, that's right.
Right. So we're off for a week. Like, we have spring break in April, which was just...
That's normal, yeah.
Yeah, right. But then there's also a week off in February for some reason, and then that puts us out at June.
And then, but you still go back in mid-August?
Yeah, like, I think this coming year, well, August 15th is a Saturday. I only know that because Leadville's that day.
Oh, nice.
And then I think the following Tuesday is when school starts. So that would be what, like the 18th or something?
Yeah, 18th. That sounds right.
Yeah, 18th. So I think that's when the kids go back this year. Yeah, so really quick, Leadville's canceled everything. So they have all these other events. They have
really?
They have, well, hold on now. I didn't say my race is canceled. But they have other events like marathons and other mountain bike races, and they have other runs and camps and training things, and they have all these events that they do, you know, so they do parlay their race series out to make as much money as possible. It's not just a one-day event,
right?
So what they did was they canceled everything out through June. So the next event that they really have is the Tahoe race I'm scheduled for, which is July, 11th. And so July 11th, I'm assuming they're going to cancel it. There's no way you can't. And then I'm also assuming they're going to cancel the August event, you know, the Trail 100 mountain bike race, Leadville, because there's no way you're going to have 6,000 people descend on a town of 2,500. I learned through a podcast that they have a hospital that has 8 beds.
Oh, God.
6,000 people descend on this town. That roughly brings it to 8,500. All it takes is one person. And people come from all around the world, right?
How isolated is this from the towns around it, though? Like,
it's pretty far from everywhere else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, 8 beds in one town is not so bad if you have something that's like 10, 15 miles away or something like that, you know?
Oh, and from what this podcast was saying, it's the Leadville podcast. Uh-huh. And what they were saying, anybody who comes down with anything in that area is getting shipped off to Denver.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, you're not staying there. They may not even have, I mean, I don't know this, but I'm just assuming they may not even have a ventilator.
Oh God. Wow.
But now, I mean, and the other thing I was thinking too is not only do you have people coming from all over the world, but there are countries that may not let people travel out of the country
right
at this time, right? So these people might be signed up and everything and ready to race and such. First, I don't even know how they're training. Some countries lock you down from even training. Second, you can't leave the country, you know? And yeah, I mean, and why would you bring people from all over? And then, I mean, like, going through the feed zones and such, I mean, people are on top of each other, like 5 deep. It's like, no way is this going to happen. I can't see it, man. I think they're hopeful, but I also think, you know, I don't know, maybe you run like this year's race next year, and then a following weekend is the next year's race, if that made sense. It made sense in my head, but
right, yeah,
you follow what I mean though, like,
right,
2 weeks in a row it would be like this year's race and then like the year it's supposed to happen's race, or maybe right. You do something like that. I don't know, but I cannot see it happening
because it's Denver. They don't have like a winter like our like LA winter where you could like race in the winter.
Denver? No, this is Leadville at like 10,200 feet.
That's what I'm saying.
Mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
I'm sorry, Colorado.
Yeah. Okay. That's like, you know, I grew up in Chicago, you know, and, and oftentimes people are like, oh, where, you know, where'd you grow up and stuff? I would always say Chicago, but like never, I shouldn't say never, rarely do I say Illinois. Yeah, it's like you have Chicago and you have Illinois, and like the two hate each other. You know? Anyway, so speaking of that, The Last Narc, let's talk a couple trailers.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one's on Amazon Prime. And why did you pick this one? I'm curious.
It had some of a thread. So the thing that I saw in the three trailers that we laid out today, you know, one was a documentary that was about this crazy, you know, biosphere. And then one was the White Lines from the Money Heist guy.
Yeah.
And then this one was an amalgam of those two, where it was a documentary about drug kingpins and kind of the drug lords.
Got it. Yeah. But the Spaceship Earth, I thought, was a great pick because it's like these people are just quarantined.
Right, exactly.
And then the White Lines and the Last Narc I got. So I kind of was understanding where you were going with it. And it was almost like the White Lines kind of bridged the gap between the Last Narc and Spaceship Earth or something.
Right, right. Or yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's, you know, White Lines to me, I think, was my favorite of the three. But I saw Spaceship Earth even before last week's episode, but I didn't want to muddy the waters with having Jim on. So I still wanted it in there because I did think it had that quarantine vibe. And,
yeah,
you know, it is a neat. I like some of the cult stuff. I like learning about the cults.
Hold that. Let's get to the last.
But yeah, we'll get to that. Sorry. You asked why I can like the last, why I picked the last.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Touche. You got me. Okay. So The Last Narc definitely looks like, well, as true of a true story as a documentary can be, I guess. I'm sure there's some political spin or something, because they all have some spin to them.
Right.
Where would you say you fall on the scale, let's say 1 to 10 of conspiracy theorist rabbit hole? Did we land on the moon? Did we, was that, you know, the moon hoax and all this? And I'm kind of going somewhere with it to get to other things, but.
Yeah. So I don't like the full conspiracy theory stuff. I don't like following that, you know, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that rationale. I feel like it's usually, I don't know. It's usually this mass rationalization. I've heard, like, when something happens and it's kind of an epic proportion, a lot of people come up with conspiracies to help them kind of cope with it. It's like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, like you have no agency,
right,
or control. So because I'm helpless in this, I don't really have an answer to why 9/11 happened. So I come up with this convoluted thing,
right,
that helps me rationalize why it probably happened.
Right. And the same thing with the grassy knoll and like the Umbrella Man and all the stuff surrounding JFK's assassination,
back,
you know,
and to the left,
the spitter from the
right. Exactly.
So it's that. And I just, you know, I just really, and it always feels like I'm always getting it from different places. I think there's a new, there's a new one now with the you know, I don't want to get too political, but the COVID-19 is, there's a few things coming out and I'm just like, just squash it.
Well, and that's what I was getting at too. Right. So one of the big things that I'm hearing is Bill Gates.
Ugh, this is the one.
Is using COVID-19 as the way to put forth the new world order.
Ugh.
Right. And so anyway, I, like you said, I don't want to get into all that. But what I would say is, and I don't know what this looks like, but it appears to be a conspiracy of the federal government, the U.S. government, to bring drugs in for whatever the reason.
Uh-huh.
And like Reagan's behind it, and the war on drugs is a farce and all this stuff because, you know, maybe for-profit prisons or something. I mean, who knows why, but
who knows, right?
What I would say about conspiracy theories is that, yes, conspiracies do happen.
Yes.
Volkswagen conspired to beat the emissions, you know, the whole like diesel emissions scandal. and right. I had a diesel Jetta, so I was a victim of that conspiracy.
Yes, yes.
And they, you know, but the thing is, here's the difference, though. If you think about a conspiracy, I think in that whole thing with Volkswagen, there was like less than 10 people in the know, right? So if you think about it in those terms, you can have a circle of trust of like a half dozen people to say, hey, don't tell anybody, but we're going to do this software and blah, blah, blah to make sure that we can sell our cars in the U.S. But the problem a lot of times with conspiracy theories is as you start debunking the conspiracy continues to grow until like millions of people are involved in the conspiracy.
Right.
And it's like, no way would anybody keep their mouth shut when you have that many people.
Right. It's, yeah.
You know, a half dozen Volkswagen execs, sure, they'll keep their mouth shut because they don't want to go to prison.
Right. They don't want to get prison and they want to keep the paychecks. They don't want to lose their job or go to prison, which are the two outcomes for exposing something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I think basically to me, that's always been like the scope of conspiracy. And I'm sorry, I don't think there's any value in, I don't know. It just feels like when something...
I agree with you, yeah.
When something is a conspiracy and it's kind of in this rampant spread through 4chan or something like that, that's not the way a conspiracy, that a real conspiracy would come to light. You know, it's like, I don't know. There's just tons of it out there. And I think that that's a very strange thing.
And I also think of Occam's razor, right?
Oh,
the simplest answer is probably the more correct one. So again, just really quick, if you think of, and then we'll get back to the lesson arc. But if you think about, like, you know, Princess Diana getting killed, running into the tunnel or whatever it was.
Right.
And then it's like MI5 was out to get her and it was like the British Parliament and
the Queen and MI5. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you think about Occam's razor, the guy was just drunk and crashed.
Right.
Right. The simplest solution is probably the correct answer, you know, and then bringing that answer or that reasoning into the last narc and the conspiracy behind whatever the drug thing is. And this one guy was going to expose it all. So they take him out. I mean, that's what has me hard to believe is the whole government, the whole conspiracy is on this one guy who's going to find it out and nobody else is going to say a word.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like the conspiracy is so enormous.
And yeah.
That you have one guy to uncover it. So they kill him. I don't know. I mean, I'll watch it just to see, but.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, it kind of runs down the lines of the documentaries that are coming out now, and it feeds into that idea of the Tiger King and McMillions, you know. It has that same vibe. So, you know, now Amazon Prime has their own version of this. HBO has one, you know, McMillions, and Netflix has one with Tiger King. But, you know, the nice thing that I think, you know, like to me, HBO has that high end one because it's McMillions and it's.
Oh, it's great.
It's a little more. Did you finish it?
Oh, yeah, it's over. It's great.
Okay, great. But it was kind of a little more highbrow, you know what I mean? And then I watched two episodes of Tiger King and I was like, it's the worst kind of reality TV and I can't even stay engaged in it, you know? So I turned that off. But this feels like something that I could watch. And last week I was wrong. I thought Hollywood was a movie and it turns out to be
so
a series. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking like, oh yeah, this movie and everything. And here we're three episodes in.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. But I saw it was a series when it came out. I was like, oh man, I got that wrong.
That's all right.
Not my fault.
It's the way they advertise.
That's right. So this one, did this one clearly state which one is, if it's a series or one-off? It's a one-off, right?
It looks like a one-off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I mean, it'd be interesting to watch.
And let me say too, I mean, I had Tiger King queued up. All I had to do was hit play. That's all I had to do.
Right.
Couldn't bring myself to it. I hit the home button. Just the guy's look or something. I don't know what it is. I just can't bring myself to watch it.
You like the two-tone mullet?
Oh, there's so much else out there to watch. I can't bring myself to watch it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, I think it's a one-off movie, but it could certainly be a series. I don't know. It's like, you know, and you're right about that. It's not your fault, right? They don't advertise which one it is.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a failure on the producer, I guess?
No, I think it's marketing. I think it's the marketing.
Yeah, marketing
failure, you know.
I think the producer, he wouldn't or she. Yeah. But yeah. All right. So, I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Right.
It looks cool. I mean, it looks interesting. I'll watch it, you know, and it'll be good trainer fodder if anything. White Lines.
White Lines. Definitely a series.
Okay. Why did you pick this one? Just because people are just doing drugs during coronavirus?
No, it feels like it's definitely pre-coronavirus, you know. It feels like Fort Lauderdale, Daytona Beach. It feels like spring break, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Fire, the Fire documentary.
No, it has some of that too, but it felt like a party. And then when it hooks you with from the creator of Money Heist, you know, you and I don't like we don't like reading subtitles. And then everybody in my circle of friends has loved Money Heist. And they say, oh, you have to watch it in the original Spanish and read subtitles, because when you hear the dubbed English, you lose something in translation. I was like, all right, well, I'm checked out then.
I wouldn't notice the difference.
I wouldn't notice the difference, but I wanted to watch it. Right. And then when people were telling me that, I was like, all right, well, that's way too confusing. I don't want to even think about it. So I put it off. But this one, it feels like it's in multiple languages, so I'm okay with that. I like the idea of an international feel to a film or a series, but it has to have like a lot of English in it for me. I'm sorry, that's kind of a stupid thing to say, but
Ted, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I read a ton. I mean, I read blogs all the time. Mm-hmm. I devour books,
right.
Ebooks, paper books, even audiobooks and stuff. Like, I'm always reading. I love reading. But I don't want to read subtitles when I'm trying to look at facial expressions and body language and,
yeah,
I mean, fill in the blank, you know, like of the visuals that you're trying to like take in and digest. And in the meantime, I got to read this stuff
on top of it.
On top of it, right. I want to look at the cinema. There we go. The cinematography.
Yeah, you got it.
I want
it.
To look at, yeah, I want
it's
to look at
It's all in your head,
how,
man. You psyched yourself out with that word.
I know. I want to look at just how they frame the shot.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Like, and the thing when we were talking about Mr. Robot, like, I love the way they frame the shots. I mean, you know, they break all the rules of photography when they do it and stuff. And I mean, I love that, you know, but I miss that stuff if I'm reading. So, but it's funny too, though, because like you made the comment, this was definitely pre-coronavirus.
Right.
But I got the feeling, and maybe it was just something along the lines of other things that were going on in the world before coronavirus, other anxieties and stuff. But I get the sense that the production of this movie is such that it's designed to heighten the anxieties for people who are already anxious about the world's situation of fill in the blank, whatever they think.
Right, right. I noticed something and I just thought, I felt like the guys, a couple of the people are hiding out. And just that hiding out is kind of like being on quarantine, you know, when you're talking to somebody through a door. You know what I mean? That's kind of a feeling of separation.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to watch this one. It just seems like it would increase, like I said, it would just increase anxiety that I don't need to have increased.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of the feeling I get. How about yourself? What say you about that?
I like it. I like that this trailer leaves me on edge and not understanding the relationships. You know what I mean? It feels like there's a lot of...
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking then.
Yeah, okay.
You may have articulated it better.
So I like the tension between these characters, and they're all bad guys. So it's kind of like, who's the worst guy, or who's the guy going against their moral code? You know, is it our bloody mouth friend? You know what I mean? Is
right.
He seems like he's the big bad guy, but they're all, you know, in this, you know, in this drug trade or whatever.
And let's just say the White Lines, This trailer is NSFW.
Oh, God. So I was watching trailers with the family.
Yeah, so was I. And I'm like, Timmy, close your eyes.
And then Anne was like, oh, how do you know this trailer, you know, the first time you see it? And I was like, oh, I saw this one before. Then I was started to play the next one. And I was like, wait, I haven't seen this one before. So let me just shelf this, you know, like I'll watch these on my own. And I was like, nope.
Yeah, I got to remember watch these that sometimes.
So there's multiple nudity scenes in the trailer, and there's no red band because it's Netflix. They don't have an MPAA
that's
to
true.
Do that. So.
And that was what I was like, wait a minute, where's the red band? You know, and but you're right about that. It's Netflix, and I'll have to say it looks like there's some comedy too because the dog is sniffing around on the
yeah. Yeah, and let's hope that dog lives because that seemed like, you know.
That's a long line of coke.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to Spaceship Earth.
Yes.
This reminds me of Rajneesh.
Rajneesh.
You know, Wild Wild Country.
Wild,
did
wild
you see
country.
That one?
Yeah, yeah, no, I love that.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, Wild Wild Country. Rajneesh, it definitely has that, you know, there's that whole, yeah, I mean, it is shot, you know, but it's kind of weird to have the guy who was like the so-called cultish leader in the documentary, like making fun of himself, you know? So,
well, what I found weird though, I mean, I agree with you with that, but what I also found weird is you have this, I don't know, lack of a better way to look at it, a scientific experiment about how can we live in a closed
environment,
not really society, environment? But a closed biosphere,
yeah.
Really.
Right.
Yeah, a closed environment where everything we do, we're self-sustaining from our oxygen to our water to our food to whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But how does that turn into like a cult ritual, like dancing? I mean, like what? Where does that even come from?
I love
how do you take science and end with that?
I love the one woman that said, I don't want to talk about this. You know what I mean? It's like, it's hilarious to me that anybody would go into it and then say, you know, I don't know. It was just, you want to talk about conspiracy theories. This one too, it kind of like, it is a bit of a farce, you know, but it did have these cult-like things going on. And this was the one that I did watch with the family that I had seen before. So
this is out.
I think it's out, or it will be by the time
okay.
that we're out. I think it was probably around Earth Day or something like that. Yeah. But it was so funny because Bryce was like, they just need more trees and plants. That's all they needed.
Like, for the CO2 spikes.
And I was yeah. like, no, I think something else is going on in there. I don't know what it was or how they're going to explain it, but I think there's more to it than that. So it was funny to hear, you know, Bryce want to like solve their problem with his just extra trees.
You know what I was thinking though? Like this would be like a cool sci-fi movie where they go into like biosphere or biosphere 2, whatever they call it. They right. go into biosphere a couple of years. Obviously, like with all of our quarantine stay at home stuff, like we're all biosphere.
Yeah.
But you go biosphere and then you're like, okay, 2 years is up. Let's come out. And the world is completely like, you know, everybody's killed off. It's Mad Max.
Right.
You know, and it's like, what the heck? All we did was go and live in a tube for 2 years.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, yeah, that would be a, I mean, I'm sure there's got to be a movie like that.
Do you remember the Pauly Shore movie, Biodome?
No.
Pauly Shore and I think it's Stephen Baldwin, the least talented Baldwin brother.
For sure, yeah.
They did a buddy comedy where they get caught in a biodome with all the scientists and stuff, and they just basically wreak havoc within this biodome.
You know, we have to find that trailer and put it in the show notes.
I will dig it up.
Oh, there it is. Biodome, 1995.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, watch this. I mean, this looks like, I mean, like I said, you know, the only difference is instead of wearing like maroon, they're all wearing blue or something. You know, so
Cool.
All right. So what we're watching.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's been a little bit because we had our interview last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, I don't know. And there's some things I may or may not have even talked about before, but I can just buzz through a bunch
yeah,
of stuff and,
let's
we,
do
and
it.
Then we can stop on a few things here and there. All right. I'll just run. I'll give it the rundown.
Okay.
So lots of YouTube stuff, just all kinds of YouTube stuff. I mean, I don't have to get into it, but for one, some good news with John Krasinski.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's great.
Yeah. So we watched I saw he just had a sixth episode, but we only watched five. TikTok.
You watch TikTok?
You ever been on TikTok?
I've not been on TikTok, but I've seen a few TikToks here and there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny for 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is old. So it's kind of like what, Instagram for like 20-second videos or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one that lasted, like I said, about 5 minutes. Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Uh-huh.
So we watched that. We covered that, and I don't even know what episode. I probably should have dug that up.
This is the first time you saw it?
First time we saw it.
Oh, okay. Did you like it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was good.
Kids like it?
Oh, yeah, everybody liked it. I especially enjoyed the give and take between the brother and sister and kind of how the sister was so antagonistic.
Uh-huh. I think Mikey would like this especially because the women are in charge and he likes strong women and, you know, Disney princesses and stuff. So
exactly.
So I thought,
yeah, everybody liked it and yeah, it was fun, you know, I think it was a little bit the play on between the real life, the child's play and the Lego characters interwoven throughout the movie was much different than the first one where the big reveal at the end.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't think, I mean, the big reveal happened, so you didn't have to do that again. But I mean, it was surprisingly good. I really enjoyed it. Maybe I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure, but we saw Onward. I think we talked about Onward.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay. We'll stop there. The Willoughbys we saw.
Oh, good. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
How were the boys doing that?
Oh, they loved it.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
They didn't get scared or anything.
Okay, good.
I enjoyed the animation because, you know, like, in a very different way, but I guess there were similarities. You know how in the 60s or 70s, like, the old Spider-Man cartoon was very, like, weird kind of animation in a sense, and it was kind of almost... Well, not in a black and white sense, but it was almost like a neo-noir type cartoon, right?
Uh-huh.
Where then if you watched like the Justice League or something, it was very Saturday morning.
Right. Straightforward. Yeah.
Fluffy and straightforward. Yeah. The animation in this reminded me kind of like that, where it wasn't so Pixar-y and clean and, you know, like the property was of the house between the house and the property line at the city was very more dark and so on. So like I did enjoy the animation with a lot of that stuff.
Right. No, and Bryce actually in parts of it, he was saying like, he's like, is it stop motion or is it animation? I know it's animation, but it's done very, you know, stylized and incredibly.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, a great care was taken in making it. So I love that. We watched that two nights in a row in our house. Bryce and I watched it.
Oh, did you really?
Bryce and I watched it alone one night.
I know you said Anne really enjoyed it.
And she loved it. So yeah. So she was, yeah, it was quite the show.
Yeah. And
glad you liked it.
Yeah. And the ending was pretty funny too, I thought, and stuff. So no, it was all around. I thought it was good. And the nanny was cute, you know, and just, yeah, I mean, the whole thing was a lot of fun. More Clone Wars, you know, we're still
plodding through there.
Yeah. More Ozark. So that's going on. And then we're three episodes into Hollywood.
Okay. So you did watch that. Okay.
Yeah. So we covered Hollywood last week. And I think the main thing is it's like I wouldn't say reimagine. Clarissa and I were talking about what it must have been like in the 40s and 50s
mm-hmm.
when homosexuality was so closeted
yes.
and everything. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you'd get arrested for being gay or something, right? And if you think about like Hollywood movies in the 40s and so on, I mean, very whitewashed in the sense of male-female interactions, relationships. You also had like the film noir of the 40s and into the early 50s, and then things started changing at that point. But I think the big thing was, and I did a fair bit of reading about it too, because I was curious how accurate all this stuff was.
Right.
And quite surprisingly, a lot of it is pretty, you know, on the nose of who the people were and what they were doing and the different agents. And of course, Rock Hudson's in there and, you know, and all these things. And I would say, though, if anybody is offended by guys kissing and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's probably not the show for you. You know, take that for what it is. But what I would say, though, is like it shows it as pretty scandalous. It shows it as, you know, I mean, it was kind of like the Me Too movement, but for male actors trying to get roles with male agents and male directors and so on. Right. So in order for a male actor to get the role, it was like Me Too, but for like guys on guys in a sense.
Wow.
So it's kind of that. And, you know, I think the thing that I took away with it is, yeah, it's probably reimagine of Hollywood. There's probably some revisionist history going on there and stuff.
Right.
But I would always think, like, the real stories are probably something we can't even comprehend.
And, you know? And that's, I mean, that's the beauty of the art that's based on historical events. And you said this about Chernobyl, and you said this about like so many things. When you have this great story, the only thing the artist that is making the series or the movie or whatever is based on that, the only thing they can do is try to capture the feeling and the emotion and the conceit of the incident and the action surrounding it. So the only thing you can do is try to evoke an emotion in your audience that is similar to the emotion of the people that are surrounding this kind of event. And sometimes to do that, you have to do different things than what was actually going on, because you need to shake people out of the context of where they are and put them in this new context. So it's interesting, you know, like last week I said, it's kind of a revisionist history, kind of like Man in High Castle or something like that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's even stranger than that, because it's...
Well, it's not that revisionist.
Right, exactly. It's not that revisionist. But it's something to kind of shake you out of the idea of the oppression of society at that time, because all these things were happening in life, because they've always been happening over, you know, from the beginning of time.
Well, people are people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
exactly.
So they have to shake that out of you. And I thought that was a great thing that the trailer did with the full interracial kiss. You know, the trailer alluded to homosexuality and didn't hit you over the head with it, with full man on man kissing, you know, which was not a problem, but maybe they had to pull that back a little bit. And they had that huge,
in the trailer.
And in the trailer, yeah, they had the interracial kiss between the screenwriter and the producer, woman, wife, or whatever she was.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. So that's the point that what made me think it was revisionist. And yet it's just re-racking the context of the situation. So I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah. And some of the things too, like, you know, there's a Chinese actress and they refer to her as being Asian and all these things. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking to myself, probably back then they wouldn't have used the word Asian. They would have probably used some derogatory term to talk about her.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall so far it's telling an interesting story. I mean, because, you know, there's no secret, Rock Hudson died of AIDS. And I was reading a little bit about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think it was Wikipedia, I want to say, you know, about Rock Hudson and so on. And supposedly he had numerous male lovers relationships.
Right.
And there were numerous times that his cover was about to be blown by tabloids and things.
Yeah.
And the Jim Parsons character, who was his agent,
oh,
threw other guys under the bus to protect Rock Hudson.
Wow.
And yeah, so Jim Parsons too. That one's pretty funny, because you see Sheldon, you know, cover your ears, kids, but I'll still keep it clean. You know, but you see Sheldon sitting there like, hey, suck me off, you know, and like, or whatever it is. And you're just like, really? Did he? And I swear, like, every other word out of his mouth's an F-bomb.
Really? Okay.
And you're thinking to yourself, like, wait a minute, he's like the autistic guy, you know?
That's a different kind of Big Bang Theory, right?
Ah, ba-doom. I love it. But yeah, I mean, I would say overall, So far, three. I don't know how many. I didn't look to see how many episodes, but so far, I would say three episodes in.
Yeah, you're halfway there.
So it's six?
Seven episodes, sorry.
Seven? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend it. I mean, I think it portrays what Hollywood was more like than what people in the 40s would have us believe Hollywood was like, if that makes sense.
That does. That makes sense, yeah.
We always believe, like, the 50s were so wholesome.
Right.
Yet when, you know, little Julie got pregnant, she went and stayed with Aunt Edna for 9 months.
Right.
You know, gee, I wonder why that was, because the parents couldn't be ashamed of her, you know? And I mean, it was just a different time,
yes,
of course.
Yes.
But like we said, I mean, people have been people forever. Eons. Yeah. Just because it's 1940 or 45 or 50, whatever, values that you want to believe you have,
right,
aren't the values that people actually have. And I think this series demonstrates more of the reality that probably actually took place.
That's cool. I'm down. I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's good. I like it. How about you? What are you guys watching?
So I finally got Anne to watch Extraction. So that's the new Chris Hemsworth actioner.
Yeah, we were going to do that.
Yeah.
So let me interrupt it for a second.
Tell me.
So this is weird, and I'm glad you brought that up, because so I went to put on Extraction, and we share Netflix. You can share up to three screens.
Right.
We share Netflix with my mom, my in-laws, and us.
Right.
We pay for it, but we just give, you know, we let them log in. And my mom was watching Hollywood, because it says you need to get somebody booted off if you want to watch it, right?
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, let's watch, because we were going to watch Extraction last night. So I hit it on, it said, mom is watching Hollywood, Frank is watching, I don't remember what it was, he's watching something, and to buy a fourth screen, you need to, it's $3, otherwise you can't watch Extraction.
Right.
I'm thinking like, but we're the third screen.
Right.
Okay, so I hit Hollywood. We could play Hollywood, but we couldn't play Extraction.
Were the kids watching something? No, the kids were asleep.
No, they were in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Timmy's sneaking a phone in and watching stuff under his covers.
Yeah, right, right. Hey, Mikey, check this out. Phineas and Ferb.
and Ferb again. Yeah. Huh, that's weird.
Yeah, so my mom was watching Hollywood, and we could watch Hollywood, and Frank was watching whatever he was watching. But we couldn't do Extraction.
That's weird.
I know, that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we're going to get to Extraction. We just haven't yet because we took on Hollywood instead.
Yeah. So this is the other thing where I was alluding to this earlier, where, you know, it's a story. It starts off in Mumbai, India, and then it goes to Bangladesh, and it's two drug lord kingpins between these two countries. Uh-oh.
This just in.
Okay.
Just finished Grimm. Maybe Extraction is too new. That's what Clarissa, she just handed me a note. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I hope Grimm ended well for her, because
after all these years
of watching it every Friday.
Right. Well, and not only every Friday, but also on the indoor trainer when she'd be riding and stuff.
That's why she got it done ahead of schedule.
That's right. Ahead of schedule. Okay, go for it.
So I was watching Extraction by myself one night because Anne was sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wanted to watch it. So I waited up late. I was up late and I started watching it. And in the middle of it, at the half hour mark, like 35 minutes in, there's this awesome master shot. And the master shot is only like 11, 12 minutes long, which is long for in a movie, but just the pace and the spots that it kind of goes through is.
And this takes place how soon into the movie?
35 minutes in.
Oh, 35 minutes in. Okay.
So last week I compared Six Underground to Extraction, just generally speaking. But I was thinking, oh, we've gone through a lot of it and there's been some action, but it hasn't been really heavy action. And then that one scene happens and kind of feels like kind of the middle, but it's really like the first end of the first act. And it is an amazing action shot where there's part of the scene where the cameraman's outside of the cars and it's a car chase. And you know that J-turn that you make when you're backing up and you whip whip it sideways and then you go
the other direction. Yeah.
So he does that J turn and the camera's outside of the car. And at the end of the turn, I guess there's a green suited cameraman in the back that they painted out, but they basically pan with the car doing the J turn. And he hands the camera off to the other cameraman in the backseat of the car.
You see it.
And you go off. Well, you don't see the guy in there, but you know, the camera's outside of the car. It pans over and then all of a sudden it's inside the car. The car takes off and the door didn't open or anything like that. So he had to like hand it off to another cameraman. So there's a lot of intricate camera work and choreography.
So you're saying it was well done.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, it's one of those things where you're like, breathe, you know, because like, is the boy going to be safe? Is Chris Hemsworth going to be safe?
Hemsworth.
And it's just, I think it got a bad rap. I think it got a bad rap because it's an action movie, but
wait, who gave it a bad rap?
I don't know. I've heard some people, you know, kind of dog it a little bit and it's not highbrow. You know what I mean? It's not highbrow. It doesn't have to be. It's an action movie and it has a decent action.
Yeah. Cause playing a fat Thor is highbrow, right? I mean, well, what?
Well, and it was fun too, because like when they're in India, the people are speaking Hindi, and you know, and when they're in Bangladesh, they're speaking Farsi, and Anne might have to save me on this one too.
Bangladeshi?
See, I don't want to do that. But it's like, I'm okay with the snippets of them speaking in a foreign language, as long as it felt like it was part of the movie and it was driven by the characters.
You're talking about for the subtitles, for the snippets.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
And it's an action movie, so, you know, it's not the basis of the whole thing isn't going to be subtitled and it's not going to be in this another language. And it has David Harbour in it, so that's kind of cool. I like David Harbour. The Hunt for Red October. Remember The Hunt for Red October?
Oh my God, I was about to bring that up. Where it starts off and wow, you read my mind, man.
So it felt like The Hunt for Red October just copped out. You know what I mean? And there's a couple movies that do that. Hunt for Red October is definitely the biggest one. Valkyrie is another one where Tom Cruise is speaking German in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
And it kind of melts away into English, even though you know that they're still speaking German. It's like you have learned another language, so now we're just going to speak in English.
Now you understand Russian. Yeah.
So, you know.
That's so funny, man. You read my mind. I was about to say, it's like Hunt for Red October.
Yeah. So that was a great movie. And then I've just been watching a lot of Black AF, which is the Kenya Burris. I think I told you I watched the premiere a few weeks ago, but I'm finally catching up on the whole thing. It's neat. You know, he makes fun of himself. He makes fun of, you know, wealthy African-American families and specifically himself and his character of, you know, what it is like to be that. But then he injects it with, you know, a historical lesson on slavery. And because it's in this comedic framework where it's just so audacious, like the comedy that he's doing, it's like, oh, we're going to just throw stills of like slave photographs from slavery time and we're going to teach everybody a lesson about this. So
is it good? Is the show good?
The show's great.
All right.
It's okay. So it's not safe to watch with the kids.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like Trainer stuff in the morning.
Trainer Fodder is good. It's based on the fact that his eldest daughter wants to go to film school. So he buys her all the equipment in the world because he's made of money, you know, and even talks about making Netflix dollars and stuff, which is funny when he's like, he talks about the show that he's made in the show that he's like talking about and like how this has pushed him into this upper echelon of wealth. And there's these great interviews within the documentary. And the way that he talks to his children, especially this eldest daughter, I just look at Audrey and I don't show Audrey the show, you know, but I'm like, oh man, I wish I could talk to you the way Kenny talks to his kids, because it's so like raw, like it would be unaccepted in any like parental counseling kind of space, but you know, I'd be interested.
All right. I already added it to my queue.
I'd be interested in you would you take tasked with him as one of your parents? If you had to deal with him as a parent, as a school psychologist. So definitely just throw that hat on like every 5 minutes, you know, into an episode and we'll see.
Yeah, no, it's already in the queue. So I'm cool. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I think that was basically it. We saw Beauty and the Beast past couple nights. It takes us a couple nights of dinner to watch a movie. So we did that. Yeah.
And overall, you would recommend Extraction?
Oh, I love Extraction. So yeah. So
okay, cool. Yeah,
so it ended really well. It's, you know, it's action packed. And yeah. Oh, so I looked up the director because I thought, you know, oh, this is great. Like this guy's got to be great. He's the stunt coordinator for Avengers Endgame. So he's like...
Oh, well, there you go. Very nice.
So it was neat.
Overall, though, I mean, good story, good action.
Good story.
It moves along and...
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm watching it.
On the list, too. It was on the list before.
On the list. Yep, it's on the list. Awesome. So then... Yeah, so is that all you guys watched all week? Just a couple things? Man, usually it's more for you.
Just a couple things. I will say, you know, I think the end of this week... It really sank in. I think we're 6 weeks in of working from home, and I could tell on my conference calls and my blue jeans by Thursday,
people are just done.
By Friday, it was a new kind of done. Like every week has been kind of high energy, and like the end of the week is just like, ugh, just bring the weekend for us to de-stress and stuff like that. But by Thursday of this past week, it was a strange settling in of the new normal. And I think a lot of people are trying to take the full workload on. this past week was like, you know, we've been working hard getting it going, but it wasn't really like a sustain, you know, there, I don't know, I'm not articulating this well, but it felt like we're settled into the new normal. And the new normal was definitely hitting different this week than it has in past weeks. Like we were just going through the paces and it was just, it was getting harder.
So I sent you an article that I read, and I think it's exactly what you're talking about. Essentially, I mean, they talk about Zoom, but it could be anything, conference call.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's so emotionally and energy draining to be doing all these conference calls, and it's like everything you're doing, your computer is for fun, it's for work, your office is at home, you have no separation, no breaks or any of that.
Right.
And so take a read.
Okay.
I think it's exactly what you're talking about. And they kind of give some advice at the end to, you know, take away and say like, hey, we recognize all these things. Here's a few things to try. Maybe with your team at work, you could be like, you know what? Let's try a few things.
Cool.
It might help everybody's like anxiety about doing these Zoom things all the time,
yeah,
or whatever, you know, blue jeans or whatever you're using. So, but yeah, I mean, because I felt the same thing with my work and stuff too. And, you know, at times you're just like, man, I just want to say what I got to say and get out.
Right.
I don't want to chit chat, you know, and like, and then people are like, oh, let's have beers over Zoom, you know? And it's like, oh, sure, that sounds great. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm at work. You know? And I think that's a lot of what everybody's starting to feel is it was novel. Novel. like the first week, 2 weeks, because it's like, oh, it's a new way of hanging out.
Right.
Look at how cute this is. And then you're just like, okay, it's over. You know, like the novelty's worn off.
Right, exactly. Cool, I'll definitely read it.
And like you said, I mean, I think it is a new normal. And I think the new normal is like, you're back in the office and you're just going to go like, hey, everybody, screw you. I'm going to hide in my office. you know, like I'm out of here. So
I will say the one little help thing that I've done is I programmed our Alexa to tell me when the workday has started and when the workday ends.
Oh, nice.
And so like we have a family-wide announcement, you know, Ted, your workday has begun. It's not like good morning, Willis.
It's time for Ted to begin work.
And then, you know, because Bryce has so many, and you know, all of his conference calls are at different times. And I'm like, come on, guys, like standardize your times on these meetings. You know, it's like, oh, we missed it. Last week it was at 2:30. No, this week it's 11:30. I was like, oh my God, come on, people.
I know, it's brutal.
So we started programming his stuff in there too. And we have all of my meetings programmed in. So she's doing her duty, like announcing all day long for all of our meetings. So we don't miss
That's
anything.
So funny. All right, man. Well, I think we had a back to normal week for us anyway. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it was nice having Jim on last week for an interview. Anybody who missed that episode 115, and I don't know, we need to get more interviews. I enjoy those.
Yeah, I have some people that I think I can line up, and we'll see where it goes.
Sweet, looking forward to it. All right, Ted, we'll talk to you next week, man. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
All right, later.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.